Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to the Bill Riley Show, presented by Les Schwab Tires, your home for University of Utah football talk in the middays. Here is Bill Riley on your home of the Utes and Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700.
All right, hour two on a Monday. Bartle's coming up. We'll talk some recruiting with him as Utah has kind of filled its coffers a little bit, filled some necessary needs in the portal. Talk a little bit about that with our next guest, too, and some off-season expectations as well. Good buddy, good pal, and broadcast partner, Stevenson Sylvester, kind of joins us. We chop it up, talk a little ball each and every week here on the Bill Riley Show. What's up, Sly?
What's going on, Bill? How are you?
I'm good. People are coming out with their really early win predictions and bowl projections and things like that for the upcoming season, and it kind of feels like some people are stepping back and a little away from Utah this offseason, despite the fact they're bringing back 17 starters and they're the two-time defending Pac-12 champions. What do you make of that?
I think it's great. It's totally fine. I keep underestimating. It's kind of like Clark Phillips slipping in the draft. It's kind of like, why? Right? Utah is back-to-back Pac-12 champions. We made it happen. We looked good last year. You got a majority of those guys coming back. You got your stars coming back. You got emerging young players who got a lot of experience and confidence coming into next year. There's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't. Like, this is a bona fide pick right here. If there's anything that's a sure thing, it's Utah. They've been out there with this roster and had success. You know, you got other guys like DJ Uiagalelei going into Oregon State. You know, those guys, you don't know exactly what's going to happen. It's all hype. So, honestly, for Utah, it's perfect position. Like, just do what you got to do. Understand that I'm a physical, hard-hitting, smash-mouth football team, and we're going to get it done. We're going to prove people wrong every single week, and then we're going to take our third back-to-back-to-back Pac-12 championship and then, you know, get into the CFP. That's my expectations for this team. I think they can do it.
I do, too. CFP is going to be hard because the conference schedule is so difficult, and the Pac-12 tends to eat its own. But, you know, to be fair, I don't have any – if somebody wants to pick Washington – I think you can make a really good case for Washington. I do. They're bringing back a Heisman candidate at quarterback. They're loaded with offensive weapons everywhere. Their defense is pretty good and should get better in year two, make a little bit of a jump. I don't have a problem with that. To me, they're the easiest other team besides Utah. And you could point at Utah and say, well, I got to see it. You know, I got to see Cam Rising actually be out there on the field with his A's coming off his ACL injury, and that's fine. But if we assume they're even – to me, the thing that gives Utah the advantage over Washington is this group here on this Utah team, all they know is playing in Pac-12 championship games and winning the last two. And you know this. Right. When you've been there and you've done that and you're used to winning, and let's face it too, it hasn't come easy for Utah. They've had to overcome on-field and off-field distractions and tragedies and everything else the last couple of years. So to me, that's why I give the advantage now to Utah, assuming everybody's healthy. I'll give them the advantage because 17 starters back off of back-to-back championship teams. Is Cam Rising as good a quarterback as Michael Penix? I don't know physically if he is, but I know that Cam's won two Pac-12 championships and Michael Penix hasn't ever won anything. So I think there's something to that. Will Michael Penix be drafted higher next year? Probably so. But that doesn't impact winning a Pac-12 championship this year. So I give the slight edge to Utah, but I don't have a problem if somebody makes a good case for a USC or a Washington. I would lean more toward Washington, though, than USC. What about you?
Man, absolutely love everything you said. Looking at the schedule right now, circle that date. November 11th at Washington, Husky Stadium is going to be absolutely live. It's two games before the end of the year. That might determine the conference. That week might determine the conference. That is going to be absolutely insane that week up there. I know that stadium really well. It's going to be loud. I think it's going to be packed. It's a big stadium, nice weathered game. I bet it's going to be on primetime television. November 11th, that game against Washington at Washington is going to be absolutely electric. Everything you said is completely all right. I give the edge to Utah because of the depth, right? I think that Utah is deep at multiple positions and ready to act, because at that point in the season, you're going to have injuries happen. You're going to have young guys playing in positions where, they haven't been to start the season, and you're going to have to mix up things. Like, nobody's going to be fully healthy going into that game. And so with that, I give the depth edge to Utah and have them in it. But I agree with you. I think Washington and USC are going to be prime guys in this conference. Oregon's going to have something to say about that, as they always do. But I just think that this is going to be the best year for the Pac-12. UCLA and USC on the way out. Everybody's going to be wanting to send them home. Like, this is going to be an absolutely electric year. But I agree with you. Everything that you said is absolutely correct. I give the edge to Utah. Even if Penix, people would give Penix the edge over Cam Rising, I think that, I think Cam is great for this Utah system, and at the end of the day, this is a team sport. And how does the team work? Whether we're running the football, whether we're giving the ball to certain key players or managing the game. And I give that edge to Cam Rising. So I think Utah will have the edge over Washington for sure.
Well, the other thing to mark down that weekend, Sly, is you say the conference championship opponents could be set that weekend, because USC goes to Oregon that same weekend too. So you've got within a span of about, 250 miles, Oregon hosting SC and Washington hosting Utah. Depending on what time those games fall, it could be back-to-back games. One could be an afternoon, one could be an evening. That could be the biggest weekend of the year right there for Pac-12 football.
Well, honestly, looking at Washington's schedule, it's going to be crazy for them, right? That's going to be another huge week of football. As you said, November 11th, that's going to be great. But, like, when we look at the last four games for Washington, it's SC, it's Utah, it's Oregon State, and then the Apple Cup of Washington State. We saw how epic that battle was last year. I expect it to be nothing less than the same. So, it's going to be tough for them, but I think that it's going to be a really hard end of the season for Washington, and they're going to endure. They're going to play USC, which we had played before they played them. And so I just the way the season goes, I think that we're in prime position more than anybody to do well. I know our schedule isn't easy, but I think that we're able to maneuver and manage the season better than most this coming year.
Stevenson Sylvester with us here on the Bill Riley Show today. Utah has plugged a few holes, added a little depth in the transfer portal over the last week and a half. Micah Pittman, wide receiver, transfer from Florida State. Tight end Landon King, who's going to be on with me in a little less than an hour, from Auburn. And they added a safety, Britton Allen, from USC. So they're adding some nice depth. And as I've said before, you can never add too much talent, can you?
No, you can't. And you know what's great is that while everybody is doubting Utah, all of these players are realizing where the winning is at, right? You got a guy from USC who's transferring over here to Utah. There's a reason for that. And Landon King, man, 6'5", 220. He's going to be an outstanding tight end. You're going to get a 1-2 punch with him and Brant Keithy. He's going to be absolutely awesome. As I said, I talked to Coach Witt. Coach Witt kind of says that Keithy will play like an XY type of position. It's kind of a hybrid position between the wide receiver and tight end. You don't really know. He could play receiver on some possessions and then come in and play tight end. But what was key for us last year was that 13 personnel. Now you bring Landon King in, and athletic as he is, you could really flex that out to where it's almost like a spread type of offense. And then you can also shift in. We all know that Andy Ludwig loves those shift formations where you start in one set and you shift to another and then you motion to another. There's going to be a lot of movement with this offense. And if you keep loading up stars on the offensive side of the ball, this offense is going to be absolutely electric. And then you can't hide the depth on defense. You need depth all across the board. As we said, when injuries happen, they happen. Replacing R.J. Hubbard last year, R.J. did a tremendous job last year. So refilling and retooling that safety room is going to be paramount. I know Sione Vaque and Cole Bishop are men in the front right now, and I think they're going to be great. But Nate Ritchie, he didn't play much in the spring. So we don't know what that is, but you're getting some reassurance with that depth, with that transfer. And this is what the transfer portal is here. It's essentially free agency, man. And so, everybody's putting those pieces together and getting to that room, and it's all winning here. And that's the culture in which Coach Whittingham has set, which is going to take the forefront.
Which is the deepest, which is the thinnest position group for you right now at Utah?
The deepest, oof. I would say D-line. I love our rotation. I keep looking at our roster and our D-line. That rotation is great. If there was a thin room, I would honestly, well, we do got three running backs. On the offensive side of the ball, we could say receiver, but honestly, it's about the personnel that you want to use the most. You know, whether we want to use more tight ends, we want to use more receivers, whatever that may be. There could be things all over the board. Devontae DeMooney's coming in, so he's going to refill that linebacker room. And it's all about how the coaches want to rotate from week to week in that. So I would say the thinnest would be our DB section. I'll go DB section. But I think this is what I was talking about with the Washington conversation, is that we are extremely deep. Our depth is great, but I would want to get another cornerback, bona fide cornerback, so we have at least four guys that are, cornerback one possible.
I would say I agree with you a little bit there. I would also throw the offensive line room in there with the defensive line. Kyle Whittingham saying they were 10 deep. It's a pretty crazy, crazy deep room on the offensive line too. The one thing about the corner room is I think adding Battle in the transfer portal early to go with Vaughn and Broughton, you have to figure, I think they're probably figuring one of those two freshman corners, either Smith Snowden or C.J. Blocker, probably comes in and grabs that fourth corner spot. Maybe they're higher than that. You know, maybe one of those two guys is a Clark Phillips or a Jalen Johnson, but I think they expect one of those two guys to probably be game ready this fall. Would that be fair?
No, that's completely right. And I only said that they were thin at that room because, you know, we don't know anything from Smith Snowden and Blocker, right? You know, once they get on the field and we see more things from them, we could definitely see that. But you definitely need the ability to have four corners. We've seen the lack of cornerback depth affect us in the first Rose Bowl. And so you want to be strong there, even though our safeties are extremely talented and we can rotate down, do a three safety system that works. But, essentially to be a solid, solid team, you want to have at least a good four cornerback depth that you can rotate in case injury or in substitution needs. And one, athletic ability. Cornerback safeties are great, special teamers as well. So those things also come into play in this game, which we're going to be in a lot of tight games this year coming up with our tough schedule. So special teams is going to be a big factor with that field goal kicking, field position with kicking off the ball, punt coverage, kickoff coverage, punt return, getting our offense in great position. All of those things are going to come into play. And, these positions are going to be key on all of those things too. So fourth cornerback, yes, on defense, but also on special teams as well.
Sly's with us here on the Bill Riley Show today. Did you see enough from Miles Battle this spring to feel pretty good about him being a rotational corner or potentially a starter if need to be?
I don't know about enough, but I saw good stuff. I can't really say that he's ready. I saw him get beat a couple times. I don't think that he's like your number one guy just yet. This Utah system is very difficult. And, being on an island sometimes, in zone coverage, playing in the slot, there's a varying things that this defense asks you to do, especially when Coach Scally inverts the coverage from you being a traditional cornerback coverage to you inverting to doing what the safety's responsibility is. That's a technique change. That is alignment change, your pre-snap read change. And so there's a lot of movement within that, and that may – have affected some of his spring play here. So now with more time under his belt, him getting more used to what he's expecting, I expect more things from him. I'm not totally ready as far as him being like the starting corner, but you saw some flashes of some great things from him. As we said, that he's a very big stature for that cornerback position, which is great. He moves extremely well, talented, but I wouldn't give him the edge that I've seen enough yet. I think he's almost there. He's great. We saw how he played at Ole Miss, but I still think he's got a little bit more, heading into Pac-12 play.
Well, more reps in fall camp will certainly help that. I'm really right. Anxious to see, of those two young corners, Blocker and Snowden, which one of those guys, if either one of those guys emerge in fall camp, because Utah's had such a good track record with those four-star corners in recent years with Jalen Johnson, then Clark Phillips, to see one of those two guys, kind of emerge and see what they can do, because they were so highly recruited and touted.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been watching Smith Snowden here in high school football for the last couple of years. I don't know Blocker that well, but, also I've seen a lot of guys have a lot of success on the high school level and not so much on the college level. And then vice versa, college level and the pros, it's just different. So that adjustment, right, that adjustment to essentially going into all-star teams every single time you go up another level, right? This is going to be a glorified high school all-star team that you're joining here in college. And then the next level is glorified college all-star team each and every week. So that level of competition, we'll see how that changes. But I've absolutely loved Smith Snowden and how his ability to play in the slot, play on the outside, how easy the game looks to him when I watch him play. And so I really think that he could be one of those guys, but you don't know that the mental part of going up another level is tough. And that's something that, you won't know until you know, right? And so, but as far as talent, Smith Snowden has it. He has the body frame. He can make it happen. Blocker, is yet to be determined. I know this coaching staff does a great job with recruiting, so they know what they're doing. But I think both of those guys are going to be good futures here in the University of Utah program.
So I've been asked this question a lot by fans, and I want to pose it to you because I don't know if there's a right answer here or not. But people have asked me, do you think that the Utah coaches and Andy Ludwig are going to try to limit Cam's running ability this year to protect him a little bit more with coming off the knee injury? And I get that mindset a little bit because you want to protect your quarterback, and especially because you don't have a real proven guy behind. You're riding or dying really with your season with Cam Rising. But in the same sense too, Sly, part of what makes Cam Rising is
his legs.
Is his legs and his ability to get out and improvise and make plays. Now, I my thought is you instruct him, you can't, to me, if you say don't run, well, then you don't have Cam Rising anymore. So maybe you say, okay, pick your spots. Maybe we don't call as many designed runs, but if you do scramble, be careful, get down. Now, the two injuries, the concussion thing was just a freak injury. That was just him hitting his head hard on the turf at the Rose Bowl. The other one was, things happen. So is there a right answer here? I mean, is there a right way to approach this if you're Utah?
I do. One, I agree with you, Bill. I don't think you take away what makes him Cam Rising. Right. His legs do make him Cam Rising. And there was no better telling than that USC game on that fourth down and one. And he got stopped behind line of scrimmage and used his legs to drive over that first down marker. That was a huge, huge play. And that was Cam Rising at its best. And so trying to say that Cam Rising don't do that is nothing. Also, look at that first Rose Bowl, that long 45-yard touchdown run, that design run he had. That's Cam Rising. That's what makes him electric. I mean, we want to say he outdueled Caleb Williams. Three of his five touchdowns in the first USC game were rushing. So, I mean, we can't sit here and say limit his room, but I also don't think that you should – I think that we should call less design QB run games. That is great. That is great mindset, Bill. I really like that. But I think his legs also is a part of what defenses have to worry about and opens things up on the back end with pass coverage. If people are worrying about his legs, they're playing a little closer to the line of scrimmage, or getting more one-on-one coverage on the back end for Devon Vele, Money Parks, now Landon King, and Brant Keithy. you know, and that opens things up to those windows where he can fit those in and you know, moving outside the pocket and running. So I don't think that people should say that, like, oh, he shouldn't run, because that's who he is. That's what makes him dangerous. We've seen that in the Florida game. His legs makes him dangerous, and people respect that, right? People look at film, and they're like, dang, this guy can run. He's faster. Thick Boy 7 is faster than we thought, and he's just dangerous. He's tough. He's not going to turn down hits. And so you got to respect it. But I agree. I just think that, you know, coaching staff needs to just inform him, like, look, you're way more valuable on this team, you know, being available. So make sure you take less hits. If you got to get down early, get down early. If you got to get out of bounds early, get out of bounds early. Live to fight another down. And I think that just needs to be a message. But Cam, go be Cam. Because one thing I don't want to get Cam into a mindset of thinking about his injury, right? And because that confidence as a quarterback, you need that confidence to believe that your team believes in you to make things happen. And one, you need to believe in yourself to make things happen. So if everybody's like, oh no, we need to protect you, you need to do this, then you're starting to think like, man, I can't do those things. So I'm not. So there's just other things that creep in. But I just think you let Cam be Cam, just be a little bit smarter with going down early and not taking as many hits.
Last thing, and it's Cam related again. You didn't play the position of quarterback at the high level, but you've played. What's the right time? Mm-hmm. What's the minimum amount of time Cam will need to get himself ready? Let's just say he's not quite cleared for contact when camp begins. Ideally, you'd love to have him at the beginning of camp. Because he's been in the system, because he's a veteran, because he knows the offense, probably be throwing on the side. But what's the minimum amount of time that he could have to get himself ready for a first game, do you think?
And are you asking just from the mental side or the physical side?
Well, both. I mean, assuming how many weeks of practice does he need in fall camp to be ready for the opener is what I'm asking you.
Oh, I would say at least 2 weeks.
Okay.
So honestly, if he's not able to play that first week of Florida, which, you know, Cam Rising may prove us all wrong, but this is just my personal opinion. I would say give him 2 weeks. You know, there's a lot of things between, you know, getting the snap from the center and getting out of the way of the pulling guards and motions and time management things that you'll have to. There's a lot of things that you go into the preparation of fall camp and the off season that he'll be missing, you know, going into the season. Yes, he'll be there, but there's a lot of rhythm things that he'll need to. And so I'm hoping that one, Cam Rising makes the good decision of, like, when you're actually ready, you're actually healthy, you feel good about it, you come back, right? And you don't force it, don't come back too early, you know, because we need you a lot longer than that first Florida game. But after that, I would say he'll need at least 2 weeks to truly be in rhythm and in doing the things that we know and love him to do.
That's Stevenson Sylvester, the things we know him and need him to do and love him for, is giving us a little insight of football every week here on the show and joining me on the sidelines for football games. Thanks, my man. Have yourself a good week. We'll talk next week.
You too, my man. All right.
Thank you. Stevenson Sylvester with us here on the Bill Riley Show.